Good morning.
We're holding on page Yud Zayin in Psachim, the paragraph Daf Ein Zayin Amud Aleph, middle of verse Lamed Hey. One thing it talks about in the Perek is it talks about a number of dinim in connection with if the Korban Pesach is being brought betuma. So first of all, it mentions that there are a number of korbanos tzibur that are brought betuma. And then you have the Korban Pesach among them is special, that even the meat of them is eaten in such a case. So that leads the Gemara into a long discussion about this whole matter of bringing korbanos betuma. And in particular, you have the famous question whether tumah d'chuya betzibur or hutra. Is it that it's only pushed off? We would rather bring the korbanos betara, but the Torah allows us to bring them betuma, but still, to the extent that we can bring them betara, we should. Or is it the tumah hutra betzibur, once you're dealing with a korban tzibur, then it's completely mutter, even if you would have an alternative. Say, for example, you had other koyanim available who could bring it betara. So in this connection, the Gemara brings Tanya, sits. Whether the tzitz is on the Kohen Gadol's forehead at the time when a korban is being brought, or whether it's not on his forehead, either way it makes the korban acceptable. We know from the pasuk that the tzitz makes that korbanos l'rotzon lahem lifnei Hashem, and the Gemara discusses here and in various other places that what that means is if a korban was brought for truma, then the tzitz makes it b'dieved acceptable. You have various cases where the meat of the korban or the chaylev or the blood was tamei, where the koyanim were tamei, etc. So you have certain cases where the tzitz makes that b'dieved the korban is acceptable. Divrei Reb Shimon, that's what Reb Shimon says, it doesn't matter whether the Kohen Gadol is actually wearing the tzitz, just the fact that the tzitz exists is enough for the purpose. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Edenu Amitzcha Meratze, Eno Edenu Amitzcha Eno Meratze. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, only if it's actually on the Kohen Gadol's forehead is it Meratze, but if not, then not. Now, the Gemara elsewhere explains that even Reb Shimon is going to agree that, for example, if the tzitz breaks, then yeah, it's not Meratze until they make a new one. But here, where the tzitz exists, but the Kohen Gadol is not wearing at the moment, Reb Shimon holds it'll still work, and Reb Yehuda holds that not. Omelei Reb Shimon, Kohen Gadol b'yom kippurim yichiyach. So Reb Shimon says to Reb Yehuda, I can bring you a proof from the case of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, when he's doing the avodas that we just davened about in Seder Havoda, and then talked about the Avodas that he does with Big Day Lovan in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. She'enei HaMitzchah, the tzitz is not on his forehead, because he only wears the four Big Day Lovan, and the tzitz is not among them. Itaka doesn't wear gold into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Rashi points out from the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, because Ein Kateger Nasa Saneger. So by definition, he's not wearing the tzitz during those korbanos, or Meratzeh, and yet it's Meratzeh if those korbanos come to Tumah, because the rule is, the Gemara earlier established, that any korbanos tzibur that kavua lahem zman, that have a fixed time to bring them, then you can bring them the truma. So, and that includes the korbanos of Yom Kippur, because there are korbanos, all of them are korbanos tzibur, and all of them are kavua lahem zman. They all have to be brought on Yom Kippur. So we see that we bring them. Omalei, said Rabbi Yehuda, answers him, Hanachli Yom Kippurim, set aside Yom Kippur, that's not a proof, Shetuma Hutra Betzibur. Because there, Tuma is Mutter when it's Betzibur. So therefore, the Bechal, a Korban Tzibur, doesn't even require the Tzitz to make it acceptable in the first place. So the Gemara goes on to discuss the point, in other words, that Rabbi Shimon is holding Tuma Dechuya Betzibur, meaning it's only with reluctance that we say that Tuma is going to be allowed when there's Korban Tzibur involved. Ideally, we would at least have tzitz to be meratzan, and he's pointing out on Yom Kippur, you don't have that, therefore that must show that it works even when the Kohen Gadol is not wearing it as long as it exists. Rabbi Yehuda, meanwhile, holds tumah hutra betzibur, that it's completely mutter, and therefore you b'chalal don't need the tzitz at all, and therefore he can say it doesn't matter the fact that he's not wearing the tzitz, because it does matter, he's talking not wearing the tzitz, and if it was a korban yachid, you would have a problem, but because it's a korban tzibur, you don't need the tzitz in the first place, tumah hutra betzibur, and you don't need it b'chalal for that purpose. And the Gemara goes on to develop the details of their machloekus in detail. So that the Gemara explains in that Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that when we're talking bifnim, when we're talking about in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you don't want there's a problem of in kateger nasa sanegr. Things that happen outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, for the most part, that's not an issue. Therefore, for example, you also have a par as a korban, even though a par is also reminiscent of the kateger. The Gemara says an exception to that is the shofar, because the shofar, even though it's bachutz, but it's because of the importance of the mitzvah, therefore it's counted like pnim. That's one reason the Gemara brings over there why you can't use a shofar from a cow's horn. The other reason being, the Gemara explains over there, because it's made up of multiple layers, and therefore it's like Shnayim Shlosha Shoykes. But yeah, the Gemara discusses one, that Be'ikr, when we talk about Ein Kategor, Nasa Sanegor, we're talking about Be'ikr only in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. There's no ban on gold, period. You see, the Kohen Gadol wears the big days of, even on Yom Kippur itself, he wears them for 3 out of the 5 changes of clothes, the big days of, yeah. Only Rikin, yeah. Okay. So the Maskana, that's it. You have the Machloikas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, on that subject, Tumor Dechoyo, Hutra, Betzibu. The Halacha is usually like Rabbi Yehuda against Rabbi Shimon, and that's how it is also that, here I think the Halacha is Tumor Dechoyo, Betzibu. Where possible, then we will say that the Tzitz is not Meratza unless the Kohen Gadol wears it, but we do say that Tumor is Dechoyo, Betzibu, meaning if at all possible, we are going to find Kohenim who are available, who are Tahor to do it, rather than just using the ones who are Tahor. Okay. Further on, the Gemara talks about more on this topic. Now, you can have a case where you brought the Korban Pesach, and then all the meat of it became tomei. Now, the Korban Pesach is supposed to be eaten. So what happens? That meat became tomei before you sprinkle the blood. Should you be sprinkling the blood of the Korban or not? On the face of it, you're going to sprinkle it in order for the Korban to be accepted by Hashem, but what good is it going to do if you can't even eat the Korban? So the Gemara, so the Mishnah talks about that, and the Gemara discusses that point, and in that connection, it mentions an opinion of Rav that even then, if they did sprinkle the blood, b'dieved the korban is kosher. And the Gemara discusses that one possibility is he's basing himself on the following statement from Rav Nosson that the Gemara is now going to quote. Tanya Rav Nosson, I mean, 9 Yisrael yotzim the Pesach Efod. How do we know that the entire Jewish people could, in theory, be yotzah with one korban Pesach, even though not every person then is going to get a kezias? You can only get it, you get at most a couple of dozen kezesim. Keep in mind, the Korban Pesach is only a sheep or a lamb within a year old. It's not that big. I once saw, you have nowadays, you have these kids and young adult books where they take events from the time of the Beis Mikdash and the time of the Chachamim or whatever and make them into like a historical novel. So I saw one of those that was built around the bringing of the Korban Pesach. They estimate, and in the course of it, that out of a sheep like that, you could get maybe 60 or 70 kezesim. I don't know, maybe the guy Taka went to a shlachtos to figure it out. I don't know. So whatever, let's say that's the number. You're certainly not going to get a kezias for every person of all 600,000 Jews or all, as we learned before, one year there were 12 million Jews, that we learned a little while back, that one year there were 12 million Jews there for the Korban Pesach. They're not going to get each kezias in that case. Rav Nosson says it doesn't matter. In other words, the Gemara says, Rav Nosson holds, achivas psochin loy ma'akva, the fact that you can't eat enough of the Korban Pesach for it to be considered achila is not ma'akva, and you're still yotz of the Korban. The pasuk says the entire congregation of the assembly of the Jewish people should check the Korban Pesach. Now, does the whole kohol check the Korban Pesach? In fact, only one checks it. Especially because now there's Gemara in Chulin that talks about, according to one opinion, Bechlau, two people shechting and holding the knife together and shechting kodshim would actually make it possible. Now, the halacha is not like that, but nevertheless, it certainly can't not the case that you can say that all 600,000 or however many years Jews are going to all shech the Korban Pesach. Therefore, from here we learn that all the Jewish people can be yotzeh with one Korban Pesach, and one person will shecht it on their behalf. The halacha is in the end, so according to Rav Nosson, no, it's not even necessary that everybody has a taste. I mean, it doesn't matter really. A taste wouldn't count anyway. Less than a kezias is not considered achila in halacha. Rav Nosson holds that's not ma'akiv. The halacha is not like them. The halacha is like the other opinion that says that everybody has to have at least a kezias, and if not, then you're not yotze. It says ba'ochlu, but he holds that nevertheless, that means those who are eating, they have to eat. But nevertheless, he learns from this pasuk, kol kahal anas Yisrael, yeah. This, by the way, this came up in Daf Yomi a couple of days ago, where the Gemara was bringing it in connection with in the course of a whole sugya about the dinim of shlichus, where we learn b'chlal that shluchus shalom kamosai, and one of the sources was in connection with the Korban Pesach, the fact that you can have a whole group of people and they delegate to one person to bring to shech the Korban Pesach for them. That's an example of shlichus, and in that connection, the Gemara mentions the statement of Rav Nosson and says maybe it's different in this case because each one has a shutfus in it. How do you compare that to a case of shlichus where the shliach has no shutfus in it? At all, and it's a whole long complex sugya. Anyway, Habonya, at the bottom of the page over here, points out that, you know what, this statement of Rav Nosson symbolizes the ultimate actus among the Jewish people, that here, Kol Yisrael Yotzim Pesach Echad, each person shouldn't be looking for his own Hana, everyone will join together with Kedusha to serve the Eibishter. So again, now in the end, the halacha is not like that. The halacha is that everybody has to have a kazayas, but still, you do have the idea that the Torah stresses the point that each group should be gathering together rather than just everybody bringing their own curb.
Sukkah,
we also have the halacha there. The halacha is that in principle you could make a sukkah large enough that the entire Jewish people could fit in all together. Yes, there the halacha is like that, actually. And there's a number of sichas and many other things that talk about the idea of how that shows that sukkahs represents a level of achdus transcending even the achdus of the dalet minim, where each min remains its own type of min. You just bind them together. Interesting. Because there was Anania covered, yeah. So, yeah, interesting.
On that level, they're all equal.
Interesting, yeah. Okay, onward. Eventually, a Mishnah talks about what happens. So we know you can only eat the Korban Pesach inside Yerushalayim. What's considered inside the wall for that purpose? For example, you're sitting in the width of the doorway, especially the walls of the city are quite thick. You go, even nowadays, you go see the walls of the old city, they're pretty thick. You could stand or sit within the thickness of the wall or within the thickness of a windowsill and sit and eat over there. Is that considered inside the city or not? So the Gemara goes on to talk about Omar Rav Gagin Va'aliyas Lo Niskadshu. So Rav says, here's a general rule: the roofs of Yerushalayim and the second floors do not have the kedusha, and this applies to the city of Yerushalayim as a whole. It also applies to the Azor. So it would mean, in other words, that when it comes to eating the Korban Pesach, for example, or any other Kodshim Kalim, you could only eat them on the ground floor. You can't eat them on the second floor or on the roof or something. Similarly with Kodshei Kodshim, you could only shech them and eat them on the floor of the Azara itself, not on the second floors or on the roofs of any of the chambers there in the Bismikdash. So the Gemara says, Aini, is that so? Well, Amar Rav Mishum Rav Chia, Kezesa Pischa, each person had only a Kezias of Korban Pesach, because you had large groups, like we said, the Halela Poka Igra, and the Halel, though, would be so loud that it would seem to split the roofs. There was such a loud noise that it felt like the roofs are about to split open. And Rashi points out later on in the Masechta, in a later parak, it mentions that you have to say Hallel while you're eating the Korban Pesach. We learned before about how they would say Hallel while they're shecht in the Korban Pesach. You also have to say it while you're eating it. So the sound of the Hallel was so loud that it felt like the roofs are going to split open. Igra means a roof, yeah. So my lab the achli be igra ba amri be igra. But Pashkus, we should assume that it means that they ate the Korban Pesach on the roof, and then they're saying halal there on the roof as well. So that would show that you can eat on the roofs. And the answer is loy the achli be ara ba amri be igra chula. No, you could say they ate it on the ground floor, and then they went up to the roof to say halal. Why would they do that? Marshall points out, practically speaking, the houses must have been very crowded. If you have such large groups eating the Korban Pesach, and you want to make sure there's no noise, so you would have large groups. Then when it comes to Hallel, and the Gemara goes on to point out, not all the Hallel needs to be said while they're eating the Korban Pesach. Parts of it can be said afterwards, just like nowadays we say part of it in Magid and part of it afterwards. So the same way they could be said, so therefore many of them would go up to the roof so that it's not quite so crowded. Marshall points out a remez in it also. The idea is when it comes to eating the Korban Pesach, now, not everybody who's eating the Korban Pesach necessarily has so much in mind L'shem Shemayim. The Gemara elsewhere talks about some people might eat, you might have two people who eat the Korban Pesach. One eats it L'shem Shemayim, and one eats it as Achila Gassi. He's just eating it to stuff himself. They're both yotz of the mitzvah, the Gemara ends up saying, but nevertheless, one is more l'shem shemayim than the other. But when it comes to the halal, there's no question it's l'shem shemayim. So poka igra, it breaks open the roofs, as if so to speak, like that makes it that their tefillahs can go straight up to shemayim without being blocked by the roof. That's the deeper significance of this expression. Anyway, the Gemara goes on to discuss this point about whether, in fact, the Gagin have any Kedusha, and then the Gemara goes on to mention Abasholim or Alias based Kodesh HaKadoshim, Chamurim based Kodesh HaKadoshim. The attic over the Kodesh HaKadoshim had even greater Kedusha than the Kodesh HaKadoshim itself. The Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim once a year. To be exact, on that one day, he goes in four times, like we had in the Seder Avodah. He goes in first with the Ketores, then the blood of the Par, then the blood of the Sur, then afterwards to take out the Kaf and Machta. So altogether four times, all on the one day. Whereas the attic above the Kodesh HaKadoshim, they went in there only once every 7 years. Others say twice every 7 years. Others say only once every yovel. To see what it needs. To see, in other words, if there's any cracks in the walls or whatever that need to be repaired. No, but it's not, in other words, that you couldn't just have people go in there just even once a year. You had people all go in there only when necessary. The fact is, even the Kodesh HaKadoshim people can go in during the year when necessary. If there's something in the Kodesh HaKadoshim that's broken, or if they need to repair the Sefer Torah that's in the Aron or whatever, then yes, somebody can go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You have the famous thing where, if possible, they would send Kohenim Tmimim and they would lower them in boxes where necessary so they don't see the beauty of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But nevertheless, in principle, people are allowed to go in there during the year if necessary for repairs. But here we're saying, this attic, they weren't even allowed to go in there that often, only once or twice every 7 years or whatever. They're going there to check if there's anything needs repairs. No, but the point seems to be, in other words, that they could only go in there for that purpose. The point is, we see at least that the Aliyah has Kedusha, and the Braith is using the expression not only that it has Kedusha, but the Kedusha of it is greater than the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So what's the expression? Fine, but the point still remains that why we're saying that the it's chamura, that it's stricter. In other words, the rules for going in there are stricter. So the point is, in other words, there you see a second floor that had kedusha. So what are you telling us, Rav, that the second floors don't have kedusha? The Ein Yaakov leaves off over here. The Gemara answers that the blueprint of the Heichal was different. That blueprint was given specifically, detail by detail, to David HaMelech, Kol B'Ksav Miyad Hashem Alai Hiskil, and therefore, and it mentions over there in the Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, when David tells Shlomo, I'm giving you over the plans, you're going to build the Beis Hamikdash, it mentions over there, Ali Yosef and Ganzakov, it mentions specifically the second floors and the treasuries and all that, so therefore those have Kedusha, but that doesn't show the other regular floor, second floors and attics and roofs and whatnot in the rest of the Azara and in the rest of Yerushalayim, that those should have Kedusha, not necessarily. Marashah mentions over here what the significance of the symbolism is, that the Shechina came down to rest on the Kaporis. To rest on the Kaporis between the Kerubim. Therefore, so to speak, the Shechina went through there to come down to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Therefore, that attic has greater Kedusha because the Shechina went through there. Al Derech, like you have, for example, Yechezkel describes in the third Beis HaMikdash, and they had a semblance of it in the second Beis HaMikdash as well. There was a particular doorway in the Heichel that was closed off permanently because Yechezkel sees in his Nevuah how the Shechina is coming to the Heichel through there, so therefore it remains closed and off limits. So the same thing over here, this attic remains off limits except when they need to go in there to repair. He also mentions, by the way, that we find, the Gemara tells us in Kedushin, that other things of Kedusha also are only given over on a similar schedule. The Shein Ben Dalet Osius, the secrets of the name Yurke Vovke, are only given over, the Gemara says, they're the same kind of thing. Pa'amachas v'shavua, others say pa'amayim v'shavua, and others say pa'amachas v'yoyvul, the same thing as we're saying over here. So things of Kedusha are not meant, certain things of high-level Kedusha are not meant, and literally here it is a high level because the second floor, are not meant to be given over, are not meant to be revealed more often than that. By the way, though, we do find somebody who was there for much, much more often than that. Namely, we have with King Yehoyash, when Asalia wiped out the whole Malchus Beis David, so they took baby Yehoyash, who was a year old at the time, and it says they hid him b'chadar hamitos. So there's an explanation in the Medrash that they hid him in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and specifically there's an explanation that it was actually in that attic above the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he remained there for 6 years until finally, when he was 7 years old, Yehoyada HaKoyin decided that it's time to bring him out and crown him as king and get rid of Asalia and get things back to normal. But so for 6 years he's there in the Kodesh HaKadoshim or in the attic above it, which. It's called Hadar HaMitos because the Kodesh HaKadoshim is, so to speak, like the bed chamber, like the bedroom of the husband and wife, the Eibishter and the Jewish people. You have the expression in Shir HaShirim, Bein Shodai Yolin. The Pasuk says over there, Hashem rests between my bosoms, between my breasts. And that represents the bottom of the Oren stuck out into the Parashas. They looked from the outside, like breasts sticking out, and that's where the Shechina rests in the Kurdish Kedushin. So that's like the ultimate place of closeness between the Edish and the Jewish people, and therefore it's called Hadar Amitas. Later on, by the way, you have also that it says after Yehoyada passed away, Yehoyash's ministers came to him and convinced him on that basis that he must be a god. They said, look, you know, the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh, in the Kodesh HaKadosh once a year and everybody's davening, they should come out there safely. You were there for 6 years, nothing happened to you. You must be a divine being and we should bow to you and make you an Avodah Zarah. And he unfortunately bought that and then things developed from there. So yeah. Alright. Onward. The Mishnah goes on to talk about, now you have, when the Kohen Pesach, you can't eat your portion of the Korban Pesach in two different groups. So you can't start in one group and then in the middle go join a different group. So the Mishnah talks about dinim in that regard, how, for example, you can't just have that people are facing in different directions when they're eating. However, the Mishnah says, akala, hifecha says paneha, akala, if she's sitting together with a bunch of people eating the Korban Pesach, she can turn her face away and eat. Even though, let's say, she started eating in one direction, but she could now turn around. But my timer, why is that? Why do we allow it? And Rashi says even the question is why specifically the Mishnah is implying even that she should turn her face away. So Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, Yepnei Shehi Boisha, because she's embarrassed. People are looking at her. She's a kala. Mind you, by the way, you have a halacha. First of all, you have a halacha. You're talking not allowed to stare at the kala because that's near stick. But second of all, you also have the chlal, it's brothers halacha in Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Suda, that says you're not allowed to stare at somebody when they're eating because it's going to embarrass them. However, here we don't mean that people are not going to be staring at her face. But still, you know, she's a kala, she's wearing a fancy headdress, she's wearing a beautiful dress, jewelry or whatever, people are going to be staring at that. So therefore she's embarrassed, and therefore she turns away. And the point is, the Mishnah is saying, not only it's natural for her to do that, but it's a good thing for her to do that. It shows a sense of busha. So in this connection, the Gemara tells a story. Rav Huna Breder of Nosson, Ikol Leber of Nachma Yitzchak. Rav Huna Breder of Nosson, we find from other sources that he was actually, that he, maybe he was at this time, maybe he wasn't yet, but later on we find that he was the Reish Galusa, he was the governor of the Jews in Babel. We also find in many places in Gemara he's mentioned as a distinguished Talmud Chacham. Anyway, so he one time visited the house of Rav Nachma Yitzchak. Omru Le Mashivcha, so they asked him, what's your name? Omru Rav Huna. So he doesn't just answer, my name is Huna. He answers, my name is Rav Huna. Why is that? They're going to ask him in a minute, why would you do that? Then, Omru Lo Leisiv Mara Puya, they tell him, Rav Yid, please sit down on the couch or on the bed. Yosef, and he did. The point is, usually that would be the place for very important people to sit. Regular people would sit on benches or even on the floor or whatever. So he's like acting in a very kosher way. So they were also very surprised by that, why he would be doing that. Yohovale Kosa, they offered him a cup to drink, and the cup was approximately a rebius. Pablo Bachadzimna, he took the cup the first time. He didn't wait for them to ask again that he should take it. The Shasi, Betrei Zimni, and he swallowed it in two swallows. He didn't just drink down the whole thing at once, even though it's only a rebius. He drank some, and then drank the rest of it. Veloya Hadar Ape, and while he was drinking, he didn't turn in another direction. He drank right with the facing towards them. A lot of things that he's doing that they were wondering about doesn't seem to be Derech Eretz. Omrule, my time of Koris Loch Rav Huna, why are you calling yourself Rav Huna? Omrule, he answers, Baal Hashem Ani, I'm the master of the name. What does that mean? Rashi says, ever since I was little, they call me Rav Huna. Marsha says it seems odd to call a cotton Rebbe. With that said, we do find, for example, in the families of the Rebbeim, they called the Rebbeim and their brothers, they called them Reb from a young age. We find, for example, the Rashab was called that from a young age, his brother, the Razor also. So maybe Taka, even though Marsha is saying it seems odd to do it. Nevertheless, maybe in certain prominent families, they did it in the times of the Gemara as well. Anyway, he brings from Sefer Yuchzin, who brings in turn from Rabbeinu Hananel, what it is he had smicha. Therefore, he was called Rav Huna. So in other words, they didn't know that he has smicha b'chal, that he deserves to be called Rav Huna. So now he's informing them that, look, the fact is, the Gemara elsewhere says, in a Talmud Chacham, of course, has to be careful not to be a Baal Gaiva, but in a place where people don't know who he is, he's allowed to introduce himself with his credentials, and that's what he's doing over here by saying, Rav Huna, you should know, in other words, that I have smicha. We don't mean, by the way, necessarily the classical smicha ish mipi ish back to Moshe Rabbeinu. For one thing, that can't be given in Babel. the Pashtus, we're talking about a smicha al derech, like the smicha that we have nowadays that shows that he deserves to be able to be moed ahayra. B'chlal, you have the famous expression called Rav Mibova, called Rebbe Me'eretz Yisrael. Whenever you have an Amora who's introduced as Rebbe, whatever, then it means he was from Eretz Yisrael and he got smicha over there, the real smicha, ish mipiish. When he's called Rav, whatever, then it means that he was from Bavel, where they didn't have the real smicha. Anyway, so those are various explanations about what he means Baal Hashemani. So another explanation, the Meiri says something along the lines of, everybody knows me by that name. If I just said Huna, then there's lots of Hunas out there. Everybody knows me like that. It almost became part of my name. Okay, they ask him, my time of Kiomroch Nesva Puria Yasvas. Why, as soon as we asked you to sit on the couch, did you sit on that rather than sitting on the ground or on a bench? Omalahu, he answers them, as the expression is, Kol Mashiyomer Locha Balabais Asay, anything that Balabais tells you you should do, Chutz Mitzay, except for go out. Rashi says it's a Mishnah, that is to say, a Braisa from Masech de Derech Eretz. So therefore, in other words, so you're telling me to do it. So therefore, I have to do it. Now, what's this chutz mitzei? So Marsha says, actually, that there are old kisveyad where they took it out. It doesn't belong over here. So what does it mean? Marsha himself says that what it means is that it means, in other words, as far as everything else, he's your balabais, you have to listen to you. But if he says to you, say, he's not your balabais anymore by definition, so therefore you don't have to listen to him. With that said, there are other explanations. Among the Nosek Kevim on Shulchan Aruch, there is an explanation that it literally means. If the guy's picking your stuff up and throwing you out of the house, then go, but otherwise you're not necessarily required to, once you're his Orach. With that said, though, the Magen Avraham brings from the Bach an explanation that what it means is, suppose the Balabais asks you to run an errand for him. Then you're not required to do that. He wants you to do anything around his house, fine, but if he wants you to go and run an errand for him, you're not obligated to do that. There's also a couple of them Mephoshim over here bring that it's also a remez on the Eibishter, who's the Balabas of the world. So Ion Yaakov brings, for example, you have the famous story of Novos. The Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin that when at one point the Beis Din Shamayla is deciding what should we do with Achav, should he be killed in battle in Ramos Gilad, or should he survive it? And you have Malachim that are Lechoiva and Leschus, and then Ruchai Shal Novos comes and says, I'll get him, I'll tell all of the Nevi'im lies, and they'll believe that it's a real Nevuah from Hashem, and they'll tell him to go to war over there and he'll get killed. And Hashem tells him, save Asa Cain, go out and do it. Meaning Hashem says, go out. If you're going to be lying, you don't belong. You don't belong. Bimchitzasi. So in other words, the lesson is that you shouldn't, don't be like that in the first place. Don't be in a situation where where the Eibishter is going to have to tell you to say. And Nach Yosef brings another point as well, that it means that, like this, you have he brings from Reishis Chochma that you have the famous thing with Acher where he went off the derech and the Eibishter says gives out a baskel shuvu bonim shuvim chutz me Acher, and Acher took that to mean, okay, well then I can never do tshuva, then I may as well live it up as a rasha. He should have realized this gemara over here chutz mitzei. If the Eibishter, the balabas of the world, tells you get out of here, I don't want to hear from you anymore, don't listen. Dochak v'nichnas, he should have pushed his way in and then forced his way into do tshuva, and he would have taka been accepted. So that's the chutz mitzvah. Okay. Next, they ask him, my time of kiyavi loch kosa kablos v'chadzina. Why is it that when we gave you the cut, you took it the first time, you didn't first refuse it? Omaluhu, so he answers them, mesarvin l'kotin v'ein mesarvin l'godol. Because we learn from Avraham Avinu that you refuse the request from a lesser person, but not from a greater person. We find, by the Avraham tells the Malachim, I'm going to make for you food, and they tell him, kain tafek asher dibarja, as opposed to then when they come to Loit, and Loit asks them to come to his house, so they don't want to come at first, kibor achoyv nolan, and he has to beg them. So we see that you shouldn't refuse a request from a greater person. Now, in that case, why doesn't that answer the previous one as well? In that case, he sat down on the couch because they told him to sit on there. Tosfos says, still though, sitting on the couch is a matter of gasus or surara. It's showing a greater breakite, a greater thing of gasus or ruach, of gaiva, to sit on the couch when, like we said, the couch is only reserved for VIPs. So for that, just to say, Masarin Lakotvein, Masarin Lagado, yeah, that's not enough of a reason. He has to say, Kol Mashi Yomei Alach Balabai Sasei. But here, when it comes to drinking, which is not such a big thing, then I'm not going to be Masarev in the first place. Marshav brings another point as well, that the first one you only had from the Hilchos Derech Eretz. Here you have something that's from the Gemara itself. And the Magen Avraham brings over there in Shulchan Aruch that actually what it is, actually Tosfos mentions it a little bit over here also, it's just not printed here in Ein Yaakov, that the vote is, with the couch, he Taka refused it at first, but then they asked him again, and then he sat on it. The vote would be, in other words, so fine, he is Mesarev, because after all, for something like that, of Gassus or Surah, you have to be Mesarev, even to a Gadol, but ultimately he does sit on it, and they're surprised even after that, why did you? And he says, because Kol Mashi Yomei Alach HaBalabai Sasei. Then they asked him, my time is just sissed the days of me. Why do you take 2 times drinking the cup? Why don't you just drink it all at once? It's only a small cup. Omulahujatani, he tells him a braiser, again from Derech Eretz. Hashos the kosev of asacha, a person drinks his cup all at once, hares a gargad on it. Then it means he's a greedy person. Beis Derech Eretz, to drink it in 2 swallows is the normal way. Gimel, if he drinks it in 3, then it's already a gasi aruach. It's like showing like he's this balgaiva who can't drink more than a tiny bit at a time. That primarily applies to wine. It doesn't really apply to such a great extent to other drinks. Gagura means like a glutton. He's just quick to knock it back, like. And the last question they asked in my time, why don't you turn away when you're drinking? We said in the Mishnah that only a kala is expected to turn her face away when she's eating with other people. Everybody else is not necessarily expected to. Therefore, there's no reason that I should. Similarly, the Gemara mentions Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi ikol b'Rabbi Shimon b'Rabbi Yosi ben Lakonia. Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi one time visited the house of Rabbi Shimon b'Rabbi Yosi ben Lakonia. Yehovah le'kosa. Again, they offered him a cup of wine. Kabla b'chadzimna. He also accepted it the first time. B'shasi b'chadzimna. He, unlike Rav Huna, Breder of Nassim, drank it all at once. This is, by the way, generations earlier. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon ben Issi ben Lakonia are among the last Tanoim. Rav Huna, Breder of Nassim is one of the later Amiroim. We mentioned the first one first because it more directly connected with the mission. Anyway, so he drank it in one time. So they ask him, Omele Lo Sovalamara, Shosa Kosev Vasacha, so it is a Gargaron. Don't you agree? What about the Braisa that we just quoted before? Omele, who he answers them, Lo Amri, because Chakotin, what they said in that Braisa does not apply when it's a small cup like this one, the Yen Chamosik, and when your wine is sweet, or Krasi Rechava, and when my stomach is large, the Gemara mentions above Matzia, that Rabbi Shmuel but Rabbi Yossi was very heavy set. So therefore, in a case like that, that's an exception, and it's not a Gargaron to drink it all at once. That's a more normal thing to do. Okay. Ha'isha Perek Shmini. The beginning of the Perek starts talking about you can have a case. Now you can only be registered for 1 Korban Pesach at a time. So you can have a case. A woman is newly married, and the question is, where is she going to be having her Korban Pesach that year? With her husband or with her parents? So you have different cases. The Mishnah mentions among other things, you have a difference, for example, between the first Yom Tov where the Gemara discusses that she's eager that she may be eager to go home. Now you can have 2 reasons why she's eager. Maybe because she's not getting along so well with her husband, or maybe Faket, because she's very proud of the fact that her husband's family, that her husband and his family are getting along so well with her, and therefore she wants to go home and take pride in and boast about how well they've accepted. So that leads us into this piece of Gemara. The Navi says, Hoshea, on that day when the Shiach comes, Tikri Ishi, you will call me Hashem Ishi, Vole Tikri Li Oid Bali, you won't call me Bali anymore. Now both Ishi and Bali mean husband, but the difference is Ishi, first of all, Bali has to do with the Baal, which the next Pasuk actually says that they won't talk anymore about Baal, the Avodah Zarah, so that's a reason alone. But also the idea is Baal is more like my master. So that suggests more like a relationship of a servant to their master. On the other hand, the relationship that we're going to have with the Eved Shem, Asid Lovay, is more like Ish and Isha, almost like co-equals, like a loving relationship. So therefore, so that's the tikri issue. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kakala bebeis chamia, v'lo kakala bebeis avia. It means at that point, the Jewish people will be like the kala when she's living in her father-in-law's house, meaning after she's fully married to her husband and she's living with her in-laws as an edim of kest, you know, or actually no, because here it's the son, here it's the husband himself is the son, whatever. The point is that she's living there and then getting along with them, v'loy kala v'beis avia, rather than when she's still living at home before the nisuin. So in other words, the point is, nowadays we're only in a state of erusin with the Eivishter. Comes l'asid lover, we're going to be in a state of nisuin. In fact, Marsha over here refers to an explanation of his that he gives in Ksubas on this. He says the vote is that therefore the pasuk continues. So you have the pasuk afterwards, ve'rastichli la'olam, ve'rastichli. But anyway, you have the pasuk over there that says. There's a pasuk over there that mentions the concept of nisuin. I don't know, now I've forgotten what the pasuk is, but there's a pasuk in that context that mentions the concept of nisuin. So again, it hints at the point that nowadays we only have the erusin with the Eivishter, but also love we're going to actually have the nisuin. Anyway, uchtiv, and you have another pasuk that expresses the same idea. At the end of Shir Hashirim, after you go through all the back and forth of the relationship between the woman and the man, representing the Knesset Yisrael and the Eivishter, you finally have Oz Hayisi Be'ein of Kamotzei Shalom. Then she says, "Then I was in his eyes like one who finds peace." The word Motzei actually has a double meaning: finding, and also Meloshin that she's found, but also that Nimtzes, the word Shalom rather has a double meaning. It means Shalom, peace, but also Shlema, complete. So Kakala Shanimta Shlema Bebeis Chamiya. So it's like a Kala who's found perfect in her father-in-law's house with her husband, V'yiridufa Lahelach Leilach Lahavid Shracha Bebeis Chamiya. And now she's eager, she's running off to tell her parents how well her marriage is working out and how wonderfully they're treating her. So that's the same kind of thing. In other words, we're saying nowadays we're only in a state of erusin with the Eivishter, but la'asid lover, we're going to have the state of nisuin, and then it's going to be. So he Marsha also explains over there. The vote is that you have we go back and forth between Beis Avia and Beis Chamia. We go back and forth between the Shul and the Beis Medrash. So when we're in the place that we belong, it's like we belong here and we're rushing off to the other one to be able to tell our shvach. That's what that pasuk in Shir Hashirim is describing, that type of relationship. Now the first half of that pasuk, the second half of the pasuk is Oz Hayisi Be'ein of Kamotzei Shalom. Or not the first half, actually, the two psukim earlier. It starts out saying Ochos Lanu Ktana V'Shadayim Ein La. The Pamali Shamaila, the based in Shamaila, so to speak, says we have a little sister, but she has no breasts, referring to the Jewish people. So like the Jewish people are still immature. They're not yet ready for that full relationship with the Eivishter. So what is that? She has no breasts. A woman's breasts are to nurse a baby. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Zu Elam Shazok Salumid Lezok Salamid. Specifically, that refers to what happened in Elam. Elam is the area of Persia that includes the capital Shushan. They had the schus to learn Torah, but not to teach. Rashi says Daniel lived over there. We find Psukim in Sefer Daniel where he describes himself as being in Shushan Abira in the country of Elam. He wanted to learn Torah. He learned lots of Torah and he wanted to teach it, but he didn't have the opportunity to. Only in Babel, rather, Ezra grew up in Babel, and he was able to teach the whole Jewish people Torah. Daniel did not have that schus. The Gemara in Kiddushin mentioned the point that it's going to be in a few days in Daf Yomi, because the people of Elam were gasei haruach, they were balei gaiva, and they weren't interested in lowering themselves to learn Torah. Therefore, the Gemara says they ended up with a poverty of Torah. So therefore, Rashi on that Gemara in Kiddushin actually mentions not only Daniel, here Rashi mentions only Daniel. There, Rashi mentions also Mordechai was in the same situation. Mordechai also lived in Shushan Abira. He also, we don't find him as a teacher of Torah to the whole Jewish people for the same reason. The people of Elam were not interested in learning, and therefore it's like a woman who has no ability to nurture a child. So now the pasuk goes on to the next pasuk or two pasukim later, it goes on. This is the first half of the pasuk. Oz Hayidin Be'Eden of Kamotzei Shalom. We Jewish people say on ourselves, Ani Choyma, I am a wall. So the previous pasukim say that what's going to be with her, Im Choyma, if she's going to be like a wall, Nivna Aleh Tiras Kosef, then we'll build over her a silver, a, 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 a beautiful silver building representing the Beis Mikdash, the Indelasi, but if she's a door, not so alay luach orez, then we'll hem her in with cedar panels. Rashi explains on the Psukim that basically the question is, are the Jewish people like a wall standing firm against assimilating with the Goyim? Good, nivna alay, tiras kosef, and we'll build the Beis Mikdash for her. The Indelasi, but if she's going to be like a door which is constantly swinging open and closed, in other words, they're open to any influence from the Goyim, not so alay luach orez, and we have to hem her in with cedar panels, and cedar rots away after a while. So now, the Jewish people answer, no, ani choyma, I am a wall, the shaddai kamigdolis. Don't think I have no shaddaiim. The shaddai kamigdolis, my shaddaiim are like towers. So what is this? Amar Rav Yochanan, ani choyma zu Torah. When it says, I am a wall, refers to the Torah, which protects the Jewish people like a wall. The shaddai kamigdolis, my breasts are like towers, ela tamed chachamim, that refers to the tamed chachamim who nurture the Jewish people the way that a mother's breast nurture the baby. The Rava Amar Ani Choyma Zu Knesset Yisrael, Rava says that Ani Choyma refers to the Jewish people collectively, that their schus protects them, the Shadek HaMegdolos, Eva Batek Nesias, or Batek Medrashas, refers to the shuls and the Batek Medrash, where we learn, where we get our nurturing of Torah. So, and then the pasuk continues, but the second half of the pasuk that we just quoted, then when we Jewish people can say that, then we find peace and tranquility and wholeness in the Eved's eye, that the Eved sees that we're taka living up to what we should be. Yom Yom Mashiach Ugo'ola, Yud Aleph Tishrei, Gotz Namin. It says about the sprinkling of Torah Adrum, Al-Asid Lava. You have the Pasuk, which we said over and over on Yom Kippur, Vizarakbi Aleichem Mayim Torah Mutaharitim, that the Eved Shteh himself is going to do the Zrika. So we see in that the Mila of the Jewish people. We have the famous mission at the end of Masechta Yom Kippur, Masechta Yom, at the end of Perek Yom Kippurim. Ashreichem Yisrael, Nim Niyat Mutaharim, Ni Mutahar Eskam, and who's the one who actually cleanses you of Vino Shabashamayim? Now, what's this expression, Nim Niyat Mutaharim, the diuk of it? You have the lifnei. What's the lifnei before? So you have the expression lifnei avaya tatoru, where lifnei means pnimis enyanu. It means l'mayla m'shem avaya. The tara of the Jewish people is even higher than shem avaya, and that's exactly the reason that's explained in Tesa Shemtiv why it is that today is called Gotz Namin, because since Yom Kippur is lifnei avaya is even higher than shem avaya, the next day can't be called by any specific name of Hashem, and therefore it's just called Gotz Namin. Continuing with halachas of Shabbos. The pasuk says Zocher Siyam Shabbos B'Kadshei. That means that every day a person has to be remembering Shabbos. That means that if a person comes across a nice kind of food which is not that common to get and it's something that won't spoil, he should buy it. L'kavod Shabbos. In fact, the Gemara mentions in Beitza that Shammai HaZaken used to do that. He'd find a nice animal on Sunday, he'd buy it. Then if he found a nicer one on Monday, he'd buy that one for Shabbos and then shech the first one and eat it during the week. So the whole week he's eating l'kavod Shabbos. Mind you, the Gemara says over there that Hillel would do differently. Hillel said, Baruch Hashem, Yoyim Yoyim Yamas Lanu, every day the Eved Shteh will give us what we need, but Mephoshim explained over there, not everybody is on the level of Hillel as far as that goes. Anyway, Erev Shabbos, you should get up early to buy Tzorche Shabbos. That you can do even before davening. The Alter Rebbe add the point, if you're not going to find it after davening, but you should at least say Shema beforehand. As long as you don't miss the minion with that. Better to buy on Erev Shabbos than to buy on Thursday, unless it's something that needs preparation, then you buy it on Thursday. Everything you buy, you should say L'Kavod Shabbos. Pakonis Ezra is that you should do laundry on Thursday, L'Kavod Shabbos, not on Friday, because on Friday you have to be busy with other Tzorche Shabbos. Does that apply nowadays where you just throw stuff in the washing machine and the dryer? I don't know. The fact is you do have to fold them afterwards, so maybe you still have that consideration. I don't know. Rabbi Chananel Ben Akasha, I'm